So good evening, everyone. I mentioned that in my email that this evening, I'm going to start with just a brief encouragement talk. And then we will just sit for the remainder of the two periods. This talk is inspired by last week's discussion of Manjushri and wisdom. I wanted to offer a little bit of a fuller picture, and some of this will not feel particularly new, but hopefully there'll be some clarity that can come from it. Buddhist teachings include practicing the wisdom of discernment, which might be described as a sharp sword that cuts through beliefs and attitudes that are misleading and that cause us to suffer and prevent us from awakening. Through mindfulness, including mindfulness of our body and emotions, we become aware of the ways that we cause ourselves suffering, and we practice ceasing from such behaviors. We might notice, for example, that when we drink too much alcohol, we're more emotionally unstable and perhaps unkind. And we learn to take in healthy nutrients instead. We also learn quickly that we cannot be happy alone. The deeper our insight into interdependence, the more we recognize the interwovenness of everyone's well-being. Our happiness is tied to the happiness of all beings. This is the beginning of insight into interdependence. Fortunately, many Buddhist teachings help us alleviate our own suffering and the suffering of others. We can temper the three poisons of greed, anger, and ignorance through the opposite actions of generosity, patience, curiosity. Embodied wisdom means honoring the precepts and refraining from taking life, from taking what is not freely given, from misusing sex, from wrong speech, and from taking intoxicants. In these ways, we help alleviate suffering not only in ourselves, but in the world. But there are times when we cannot alleviate all suffering. On a personal level, we might suffer from depression or grieve a lost one. One thing we realize in meditating is that we do not have perfect control over our thoughts and emotions. We also do not control the world. The war in Ukraine rages on despite our wishes. The climate grows hotter. It only pours salt on the wound when we imagine that all suffering is somehow caused by our poor practice. However, we can bear compassionate witness to suffering when it is present, and we can take care of it. This practice of bearing witness also offers the opportunity to cultivate another form of wisdom, insight into the emptiness of all phenomena, including suffering itself. Emptiness does not mean non-existence. It means that life can't be captured by our notions. Our practice invites us to be intimate with life just as it is, beyond our conceptions of what is or what should be. What we may find is that when we suffer, suffering does not destroy us the way we feared. It is often our avoidance of suffering that hurts the most as we try to abandon it or repress it, hoping it will just disappear. But suffering is part of life. When suffering arises, it longs to be seen, to be attended, to be accepted in the non-judgmental spaciousness of awareness. As we take off our armor and open our hearts, shame might appear as a fire burning in space, anger as fireworks exploding in the sky, grief as a flower blossoming in our hearts. As we look deeply into suffering, we see that suffering flows. It has no intrinsic permanent essence. It has no fixed identity that can possess us, as we may have feared. So we don't need to avoid suffering. We don't need to wield the sword of wisdom here. Time does that for us. We can love ourselves just as we are. We are free to be exactly as we are, because everything reveals the mysterious truth of the Tathagata. When we realize this, we also realize that we do not need to run from suffering in the world. We can be like Buddha, come out from behind the walls we have built around ourselves. We can attend our pain and the pain of all who suffer. We are free to care for all beings. The tears we cry are Avalokiteshvara's tears. Ironically, this can be a hard pill to swallow. When we come to practice Zen, we aim for happiness alone rather than our complete humanity. We must walk the humbling path of disappointment to attain greater liberation and to be of greater service. These different aspects of wisdom are not mutually exclusive, but nourish and support each other. Off the cushion, we practice actively alleviating suffering and cultivating well-being in ourselves and the world. This is our bodhisattva vow. We save all beings. Here on the cushion, we have the opportunity to surrender, to let suffering be, and even to appreciate its suchness. Here we learn to be free, regardless of the content of our experience. This is why in the Zendo, I tend to emphasize bearing witness. So my encouragement this evening, accept yourself exactly as you are, and look deeply into whatever is arising. If it is joy, appreciate this moment. If it is suffering, appreciate this moment. Whatever arises, it is your life. It is the Dharma offering you an opportunity to awaken.